Welcome to the November 8th, 2009 morning worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's message is by the Reverend Raymond Smith on Jeremiah 29. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now, for our worship service.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, it is a beautiful, sunshiny Sunday. We are so glad that you have decided to join us for worship this morning. Are you glad to be here?
Yes.
I am too. We want several announcements we want to make. This morning, there are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We like to find out who is in worship every Sunday, members and guests alike. We invite you to take this pew pad and write your name down, check the appropriate boxes, put any change in contact information, or update us about your current contact information. Send it down so everybody has a chance to fill that out. Then, once it gets to the end, if you could send it back to where it got started, this is helpful for us, especially if when it gets back to the first person who wrote it on it today, if you could tear out the pages that were used, that'll help our ushers gather those at the end of the service. Thank you for helping us with that. Let's see a few quick things about worship today. We are having children's celebration. This is a time when all of our children will leave worship. And they will go out these doors into Smith Hall for a special time of worship just for kids. Our juniors and seniors and their adult leaders continue to do a great job at leading this. And they will be glad to go with your kids during hymn number 604. That's the second hymn today. Come All Christians, so please make note of that. We're very excited this morning that we have our puppets. They are back today. They have a very special announcement that they would like to give to you. And, well, puppets, take it away.
Psst. Oh, hey, Maria. Look, they invited us back.
Yeah, Rosie. Hard to believe, isn't it?
Maria, I thought I was pretty entertaining. You know, with that no legs bit and the arm up our backs thing?
Oh, Rosie, you so were. But we didn't come here to entertain. We came here to talk about important stuff.
You are way too serious, Maria. You need to lighten up a bit.
This is serious business, Rosie. We are here to remind everyone about the campaign. Rosie, what in the world are you doing?
What does it look like I'm doing? Don't you remember? Last time you were here, you told me and everyone else we needed to pray. Well, that's what I'm doing.
Yes, we did. But there's time and place, and right now we're here to remind everyone about the campaign.
Well, okay already. Start your reminding.
Okay. Living the Faith, Building the Future campaign commitment time is just around the corner. I hope everyone has read through their packets, but more importantly, I hope that everyone is praying daily about their part in the commitment. Rosie?
Amen. Yes, Maria?
I'm finished. How was that?
Oh, I'm sure it was fine. I wasn't really listening. I was too busy praying about my part of this campaign. Did you tell everyone they need to be praying?
Yes, Rosie, I did.
Well, good. Now that Miss Sirius is gone, remember, it's Living the Faith, Building the Future prayer time. Keep praying. See ya.
Other announcements we have coming up. Reminder to our youth, we are having Destination X tonight, right after Youth Choir. Youth Choir is at 4:30. Destination X is at 5:30. Parents will be back by 8 o'clock, so just want you to make note of that. Reminder also to... For those that have not been with us before, there are some instructions in the bulletin to kind of help you know when to stand up and sit down and all that kind of stuff. You will notice during the hymns there's a star right beside that, and that's a time for you to stand up and sing with us. And just as a word of instruction and encouragement as we go through the service. I think that is all the announcements I have. Any others? Going once, going twice. We want to say a special welcome to our guests. Our ushers are coming down the aisles now. Guests, you have already given us your information just a few moments ago on the pew pad, and we appreciate that very, very much. Our ushers would like to give something to you. So if you just raise your hand if you're a guest with us this morning, and they will be glad to give you a packet of information. Inside the packet, you will find a letter from our pastor, as well as a little bit of the story of College Park, and a newsletter that tells you what's going on currently in the life of our church. So many exciting things that are happening here at College Park, and we are so pleased that you have joined us for worship this morning. Worship is why we're here. Let us continue to think about why God has brought each of us here as we prepare for worship. Jason.
As you know, this Wednesday, November the 11th, is Veterans Day, and there have been many great celebrations going on this weekend, certainly all of which are even more poignant after the events on Thursday at Fort Hood in Texas. And this morning here at College Park, before we begin worship in earnest, we'd like to just take a few moments to recognize and honor the veterans among us in our church family. Veterans Day denotes sacrifice, honor, and service. It speaks of the veterans who have given of themselves to defend our nation, to give us democracy, and to protect us and provide peace. It speaks of the families of the veterans who have been willing to give up their loved ones to the service and to support them as they defended us at home and abroad, not only for each of us as Americans, but also defending and protecting people around the country that we do not know and many of whom we may never meet. To you, veterans, we thank God for you. We thank you that you have allowed God to use you in powerful ways to serve others and that you have modeled a Christ-like example of living for others. So that we can recognize you this morning, veterans, if you will, please stand as I mention your branch of service and please remain standing until all the veterans are standing. United States Army. United States Marines. United States Navy. United States Air Force. United States Coast Guard. Veterans, thank you. One additional thing we can do to honor our veterans and the dedication of their service is to pray for our current people in service, including four members of our church family who are serving at home and abroad. That's something we can do for our veterans. And also, as a tribute to the veterans, our own Grace Notes are going to come and sing American Heroes, a salute to the armed forces.
Thank you.
Will you pray with me? Father, as we pause at the beginning of this hour of worship, you have already reminded us that you are here. And that's exactly what we need, is to be in your presence. So we invite you freely, of our own choice, to ask you to come into this sanctuary, to speak to us, to be present among us, and to change us from the inside out. That is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
As you know, this is our fourth Sunday of our capital campaign and celebrating the commitment of this congregation to look to the future. And with all of that in mind, I want to invite Tom Hurst, who's been director of our leadership campaign, which was kind of a campaign within a campaign, I guess is the best way to describe it. And he has some very encouraging words to offer about some things that have been going on kind of behind the scenes, and give us an update with that.
Good morning. How many people remember the Together We Build campaign from 15 years ago? Quick show of hands. A lot of folks. You probably also remember many of the questions we had around that campaign. How are we going to pay for it? Should we borrow money or not? Should we start building now or wait? But in spite of those concerns, we stepped out in faith, we built the addition, and we paid off the total debt in less than 10 years. Today, I can't imagine College Park without Smith Hall and all the other facilities included with that campaign. In fact, the whole younger generation, if you're under 15, don't even remember College Park without those facilities. Well, now we've got the same concerns with the proposed recreational facilities. How are we going to pay for it? Should we borrow money or wait? Should we start now? And then they've got the additional concern about the general economy. Well, to start addressing how we're going to pay for it, over the past few weeks, we've invited everyone to participate in what we've called the leadership campaign. The leadership campaign basically involves making your decision about a commitment early and turning in your pledge card to jumpstart the campaign. We had many folks attended the home gatherings where we had some excellent discussion and questions, and 45 families have made their commitments early. Those 45 families pledged a total of $748,560 over a three-year period. That $748,000 is approximately 30% of the total estimated cost of $2.5 million. Now, next Sunday is the church-wide commitment Sunday. And we invite the entire congregation to participate by turning in your pledge card. A couple of notes on pledge cards. This coming week, everyone will receive a mailing that will include a pledge card. This week, please prayerfully consider how you can support this important expansion of our ministries. And then during next week's service, there'll be an opportunity to turn in your pledge card. And just like 15 years ago with Together We Build, I think we can make this current campaign a reality. Thanks.
Well, many of us have been discussing that very thing, from our youth to our adults, even our children. And so have been discussing what can we do to make this God dream, God-sized dream, a reality. And during the hymn, you'll be singing, and I want you to notice as well, the children are going to be coming forward. They've been working over the last several weeks to prepare their own part of the offering, and they will be bringing that exactly as we sing this next hymn.
As we see an example of stewardship with the children, we read about stewardship in God's Word. This is from 1 Chronicles, the 29th chapter of 1 Chronicles, beginning at verse 1. If you don't have your Bible with you, there should be a pew Bible located close by. 1 Chronicles 29:1. Then King David said to the whole assembly, "My son Solomon, the one whom God has chosen, is young and inexperienced. The task is great, because this palatial structure is not for man, but for the Lord God. With all my resources, I have provided for the temple of my God, gold for the gold work, silver for the silver, bronze for the bronze, iron for the iron, and wood for the wood, as well as onyx for the settings, turquoise stones of various colors, and all kinds of fine stone and marble, all of these in large quantities. Besides, in my devotion to the temple of my God, I now give my personal treasures of gold and silver for the temple of my God, over and above everything I have provided for this holy temple. 3,000 talents of gold, gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver for the overlaying of the walls of the buildings, for the gold work and the silver work, and for all the work to be done by the craftsmen. Now, who is willing to consecrate himself today for the Lord?" Then the leaders of families, the officers of the tribes of Israel, and the commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds, and the officials in charge of the king's work gave willingly. They gave toward the work on the temple of God 5,000 talents and 10,000 derricks of gold, 10,000 talents of silver, 18,000 talents of bronze, and 100,000 talents of iron. Any who had precious stones gave them to the treasury of the temple of the Lord in the custody of Jehiel the Gershonite. The people rejoiced at the willing response of their leaders, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord. David the king also rejoiced greatly. May God bless the reading and the understanding of his holy word.
As part of our celebration today, we wanted to offer to you a spokesperson, someone who has practiced stewardship in their life and wants to come and offer a word of testimony this morning. Ms. Laura Lawrence comes to us this morning.
It's a surprise to me that I'm speaking before you this morning. I feel that the service already has reached so many climactic moments that we could almost give the benediction and go home. I'm that little old lady who lives at Brook Ridge, which is the Baptist retirement home off Bethabara Road near Wake Forest. And I want to begin with a point of privilege, if you'll allow me, and say something that some of you know, but I want all of you to know the great ministry that this church renders to the people of Brook Ridge. As a resident, I've been able to see it firsthand, and I'm so proud of my church and your church and our church at Brook Ridge. Even before we moved to the new campus, College Park was over at Hayes' home serving a meal to the residents who were going to move to the new campus. There were people from this church who were already on the campus rolling wheelchair patients to worship services, and they pursued that for another 15 years, making a total of 30 years of rolling wheelchair patients as a service to wheelbound patients. And I'm so proud of them. I'm sorry I can't call everybody by name, but very quickly, let me tell you that every Saturday morning, this church sponsors a Sunday school class in the healthcare solarium. You furnish a teacher and an assistant teacher and supply materials for that class. And it meets a great need for the healthcare patients and independent people who assist and those who cannot attend their local church. We have four women from this church who have volunteered to assist with a Women on Mission group monthly and do such a good job with us. Other people visit and newcomers and invite them to this church and tell them all about it. Others visit patients in health care. You send your flowers and let us enjoy them in the lobby or in our worship services, or you send us individual gifts of remembrance. And I mention all of this to just say thank you for being at Brook Ridge and ministering to us. You're doing a good job and are blessing us. Actually, though, when my husband and I moved to the new campus 20 years ago and were ready to choose a new church home, we did not come to College Park on the basis of what I have just told you, not on what we saw and knew you were doing or would do. Rather, we came on the basis of your reputation and on a knowledge of your pastors who had served or were then serving. We were in the seminary with Ethel Lee and Foy Martin. They were our friends. In the Raleigh Association, we knew Judy and Charles Edwards. I was in Minister's Wives with Judy. And so their names were familiar, and so we looked with interest at this church and joined it with great excitement. Belma Pressler McGee, a member, longtime member here, worked with college students under the Baptist State Convention when I was a college student and blessed me then and remained my friend while in the church until her death. We were led, as I said, to come here, and we have loved through the years being a part of you. We came finding a good, solid church that was well-founded, rich in its history, steady in its growth and growing, well, a church of well-placed values, people of good stewardship, Christ-centered, mission-oriented, warm, open-hearted fellowship, given to receiving newcomers, taking in new people. And you took us in and rendered tender, loving care in our behalf, and we loved you for it. And I want to say thank you this morning for giving us a spiritual home and being our church family. We enjoyed fellowship with our peers, but we enjoyed the added dimension that we found in this church. We are an intergenerational church. We have the old folks, and we're proud of them and thankful for them, and we were part of them. But we love the middle-aged folk, the older ones and the younger adults and the younger still adults. But the thing that thrilled us most in this church and found it a source of life and encouragement were the youth and the children that we found here. But when you put us all together in this intergenerational context, we were one big happy family, and we noticed that when we assembled with one another, that there was just the sight of each other seemed to bring about a lot of hugging and a lot of chatting, a lot of caring one for another. Today, 20 years later, I'm thankful that Christ Church, your church, my church, our church, here at College Park, is still alive and well. The record shows that we've done a lot. The times tell us that there's still more to be done in Christ's name, if he's to be known and the kingdom is to come. If we need vigor, energy, excitement, new life, we can simply look at our young people. They are our vitamins. They are our boost. They lift our sagging spirits. They are a sight for sore eyes. They are our hope in discouragement. They are truly, we are all blessed by them. Their very presence is a sight that has blessed me through the years, and I missed them this morning, and I didn't know they weren't going to be here when I put those notes in my here in this little book. They ought to be right there, though we love the grace notes, didn't we? I don't know where they are, but I've got down here that any church would love what we see every Sunday, those young people on the front rows, and what preacher? Where are you? Oh! What preacher couldn't preach when they was in front of them? Thank you for saving my face. Your participation in our church programs, in sharing your talents, which is an indication of your faith and faithfulness, has blessed us through the years, and we thank you for it. We thrill when we see the children, and I did not know what all that was going on this morning, but I've never seen a sight more beautiful than seeing those children make their gifts today. When the children come down the aisles to meet Jeff for the children's sermon, I delight in it. And to hear their wisdom in answer to their questions brings laughter, yet it thrills us to know their good training both at home and through the church. But the greatest thrill of all is when we witness a profession of faith, and we see it often here, and I'm so thankful that our church is a place of soul winning. How we love to see people brought to Christ and baptized, and then to grow in their faith in Him. So I want today to say thank you, young people. Thank you, children. Thank you, parents, for what you add to our fellowship. I'm a mother, a grandmother, I'm a great-grandmother, and so I view these young people through those eyes, just as I want my own to grow in their mind, to be sound in their mind and body. I want them as well to be sound in their soul, to grow in the Spirit, to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, and to know the rich and the full and the abundant life that He came to bring. And so as I wish it for them, I wish it for our church young people as well. They are our joy and our responsibility now, but they also are our hope for the future. And that's why I believe in this building campaign in which we're now engaged. It's largely in their behalf. Let's remember that. I rejoice in what's been done in the past. And as Tom reminded us, we have succeeded and rejoice in what we saw 15 years ago. But now we're looking forward to our tomorrow, our future. There is no standing still. Times won't allow it. God's Spirit is moving, and we must move with Him, or He's going to move on without us, lest we be flowed by, which is a very sobering thought. So we're being encouraged, we're being invited to move on by faith in this building campaign. The plans have been well made. The leaders have led us well. And now it's up to us. By faith, let us make our commitment.
This year I've been attending a Bible study with some other people in our church, and we've been focusing on the book of John. This book is the most intimate look into the life and ministry of our Lord. One thing I've come to understand better than ever before is that the bread of life is not something for us to partake of and be satisfied. My food, said Jesus in John 4:34, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. He goes on to talk about the fields being ripe for harvest for eternal life. Let's pray. Lord, we have so many blessings. We thank you for those who serve and sacrifice for our faith, for our nation, and for our society. We thank you for our gifts of time, talents, and resources. Please lay it on our hearts to use our blessings and these offerings to do what Jesus was talking about, to minister and to reach out. The harvest is ripe. Help us to have passion and fervor to do your work. We will receive the nourishment of doing your will and serving and helping others in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you.
Miss Lawrence, thank you very much for your words. Choir, thank you for beautiful anthem. Miss Lawrence, you joked when you got up. I assume you were joking about we could leave prior to you speaking. When you got done, I looked at Jeff. I said, I got nothing else. I think we can go home. But we would have missed the choir anthem, so it's a good thing we stayed, right? Okay. Well, we're going to look at a few verses this morning. And we'll be a little shorter because we're going to go outside and we're going to have a prayer time. I'll give you a few minutes give you a few instructions about that in just a minute. But we want to read this morning from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29. If you've seen the promotional materials, you've seen this verse, Jeremiah 29:11, that's underneath most of the materials that are coming out in regard to the capital campaign. But I wanted to back up, give you a little bit of context, give you a little bit of history, if you will, about what's going on when Jeremiah writes. And it says it perfectly well. I really don't have to elaborate. As I read the passage, you'll understand what I'm saying. In Jeremiah chapter 29, it begins like this in verse 1. This is the text of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders among the exiles and to the priest, the prophets, and all the other people Nebuchadnezzar had carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. So what is following now would be the text of that letter. So I'll jump down to verse 4 where it picks up that text. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there. Do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I've carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I've not sent them, declares the Lord. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me where you seek me with all of your heart. These are words of promise. They're words of hope. And as we look at them, I want us to kind of just think about a couple things very quickly. First of all, the command to the people was to prosper, to multiply. To prosper and multiply. Don't fear. Do not cower in the face of your circumstances. They were looking at literally being ripped from their homeland and placed in exile. Jeremiah is saying, no, don't fear. Don't cower in the face of your circumstances, but prosper. Verse 6 says it well. It says, increase in number. Don't decrease. Increase, grow, prosper in spite of your circumstances and within your circumstances. So for us, as we look at this, you know, it would be very easy, and we've talked about this before, it would be very easy with the economic climate being what it is for us to say, no, we need to kind of pull back in and go into protect mode. But if we take God's word seriously, I never see that. I never see it. It's always thrive, trust the Lord, continue to grow, continue to multiply, prosper in spite of the circumstances. That way you can be a testimony. That way you can be a witness to the power of God over circumstances. It's a good word for us. It's a good word. The second thing, in verse 8 and 9, let me read that those verses to you again. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They're prophesying lies to you in my name. I've not sent them, declares the Lord. And you say, well, what? How does that apply to us? There's a lot of misinformation. You know, if you watch the news at night, there's seldom anything good in the news. It's always sensationalized, and therefore it's usually of a negative tone. And for us as Christians, sometimes we take on that attitude as believers. We begin to think toward the negative. You know, we begin to think that really there's nothing good happening. And there is nothing more that Satan would like than for us to actually believe that and to dry up and die as a church. So we have a challenge before us. Do we listen to all the voices that are going on that say it's all bad, nothing's good, or do we trust God's word in written form as well as in our prayer life? Do we trust his direction for us as a church, or do we listen to all the misinformation that's being passed? And that leads me to verse 11, which is our focal verse for our campaign. Let me hear it one more time. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. God is our source of hope. Human beings can claim to be our hope, but God is our hope. God is our future. We would do well to remember that, because the world around us, it's very obvious. The world around us wants hope. They want to see where hope comes from. Many claim, only few can deliver, and those that deliver are those who are agents of hope sent by the God who created us, who sustains us, and gave his son for us so that we can have hope personified. We are the people of the resurrection. We are Christians. We are believers. And as such, we have a message of hope. As such, we are the hands and the feet of our Savior. We have a future. It's outlined pretty clearly. We have a future. One where God would plan for us to prosper, to grow, and to multiply. That's our challenge. I would challenge you as you explore how you can be a part of the future, the hope that God has for us as we call ourselves College Park Baptist Church, as we call ourselves the bride of Christ, the hands and feet, the body of Christ. As you challenge yourself, as you pray about what God would have you to do, the key word there is pray. And this morning, we're going to spend some time doing that. And we've never done this before. Not praying part, the part about when we're going outside. We've never done the mechanics of this quite like this. So let me give you a few words to kind of increase your comfort level with this whole process. In just a moment, we're going to go outside and we're going to surround the church in so much as possible. It may not be shoulder to shoulder, but the idea is to get good coverage all the way around the church. I just, on a practical level, I would make a suggestion. If you are a more mature adult, and perhaps in our adult 3 or adult 4 departments, if you would like to kind of go ahead and make your way toward the back of the building, that way you'll already be at the parking lot and you won't have to come back and forth going through the grass and over the curbs and all of that. If you want to go ahead and make your way through there when we dismiss in just a moment, that way you'll already be at your vehicles, because once we dismiss on the fourth horn, then you'll be free to go. Okay, and then maybe some of you that are a little bit younger, a little bit more spry, if you want to kind of surround the front part here during the grass and over the curbs and where the trees are and over here, that might be a little bit easier. Our children are going to be coming out of children's celebration, and they're going to be forming a line over here just outside Smith Hall as they come out those doors. Our preschoolers, if you're a parent of a preschooler, our preschoolers will stay in. We just thought it was way too much fun to try to organize. So you're welcome, Beth. Our preschoolers are going to stay in, and they'll be praying where they are, and the adults that are keeping them will be thankful that they're praying where they are and not outside. So the preschoolers will be in, again, in the front, maybe younger adults, and in the rear, if those who, I'm not telling you, if you're a more mature adult and you want to be in the front, please do. I was just making a suggestion that might be helpful to you. When we get outside, we'll give ample time for everyone to get situated. You're welcome to hold hands or be within hand reach or close enough just to kind of form a circle. Again, just be creative and try to fill in all the gaps as we go around. We'll give you ample time to do that. Then you'll hear a horn. I'm not going to give you a sample in here. This is not an indoor instrument, okay? You'll hear a horn. It will be loud enough to where you can hear it. Trust me, it will be loud enough. Woody lives across the street, and we may have a visit from the police department, but you will hear a horn. And if you look on your order of service, it will tell you there at the first horn, we'll pray for the Lord to show us His will for College Park. We don't want to take one step or make one decision without His wisdom and guidance. So we're praying for God's wisdom and guidance, for Him to clearly show us His will. We'll have a few moments for that, and then you'll hear a second horn. And then we'll ask God to bless our efforts and our works. We'll ask God to guide our administration of His gifts and ask for the gifts to be a blessing to people within our church and also to the people of our community. And on the third horn, we ask that you pray to ask Jesus to guide your family as we consider our participation in the capital campaign and the building renovations and new construction. Ask Him to reveal His will for you personally, and that He will enable you to be obedient. And when you hear the fourth horn, go in peace. Keep our church, our plans, and your participation in your prayers all through this week and in the days to come. So you notice we didn't have seven horns. Nothing's going to fall down. Okay, we're okay here. We've got four horns. If you have questions, kind of ask the people beside you, and we'll kind of work through this together. But I want to ask you all, if you would please now stand and begin making your way to the doors that are closest to you there and making your way outside.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.